Luke chapter 12, as we work our way through the book. Luke chapter 12, we're winding down to the last part of the ministry of Jesus Christ as he is going around Judea, heading toward, in a very non-direct manner, toward Jerusalem, knowing what is coming. It'll be the last several months of his ministry now as he is preparing his disciples and preparing those who are following him in his teaching. So we're in Luke chapter 12. We're going to be starting in verse 41 today. Verse 41, reading through verse 48. Peter said, "Lord, are you addressing this parable to us or to everyone else as well?" And the Lord said, "Who then is the faithful and sensible steward, whom his master will put in charge of the servants to give them their rations at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all of his possessions. But if that slave says in his heart, 'My master will be a long time in coming,' and begins to beat the slaves, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and in an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. And that slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accord with his will receive many lashes. But the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of flogging will receive but few. From everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you, Lord, for the life of dependence that we can have as Christians. Father, for guiding us and leading us, for giving us all that we need. And Lord God, for putting us in a place of an area that where we can respond to that gift, where we can take responsibility, Lord, where we can live the life you have given us, live it out. And Father God, where others can see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Lord God, thank you for entrusting to us the great news of the gospel, the truly good news. We love you. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Excuse me. Luke here has, as we've gone through the gospel, we've looked at the birth of Christ and John and the ministries. And throughout Jesus' ministry, he was doing many miracles. He was raising folks from the dead, healing people. And feeding people, he fed the 5,000. We have all of these examples of supernatural truth that Jesus has presented. And so there were many people wanting to follow him. There were many people just curious. They wanted to see another miracle. They wanted to see something great. They wanted to be fed without having to work for it. there were thousands, and at this point, probably more than 10,000 people following him. But some of them wanted to be his disciples. Some of them wanted to be his followers. Now, he had chosen 12, but there were others. There were many others that wanted to be followers of his, wanted to help him in his kingdom, because he had preached about a kingdom. And in their minds, it was going to be a physical kingdom where Israel would again be the top nation. And they wanted that to happen. What they didn't understand is the spiritual nature of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And he was presenting it, and yet they were not catching it. He was, as he was teaching, it would come out. But he's in the final part of his ministry, and he had already warned them, especially the true follower, the ones who wanted to be his followers. He'd warned them against hypocrisy and greed and worry. We looked at all of that. And how to keep their focus upon God, focus upon Christ, and to anticipate Christ, to anticipate the return, the rapture of Christ, the return. We looked at that last week. And that's the parable that Peter, yes, verse 41. That's the parable that Peter is asking about. What we looked at last week, where you had the master who went to a wedding feast, and the slave that was at home, and he was waiting and watching and wanting him to come back, and ready when he came back, he was dressed and he was ready and ready to answer that door, ready to get it open. And what inheritance, or not inheritance, but what rewards he got. And he ends up in verse 40, says, "You also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour that you do not expect." Now, Peter was confused a little bit about this. And so he's giving a strong warning to anticipate Christ. And Peter's question comes out. Look at verse 41. Peter said, "Lord, are you addressing the parable to us or to everyone else as well?" Well, if you go back to verse 22, he says, "And he said to his disciples, for this reason," talked about worry, and then he goes on and talks about other things. So he's talking, and Peter's question is valid. He's saying, look, are you just talking to the 12 of us? Or are you talking maybe to the 70 that you sent out to do the miracles and to proclaim the gospel? Or are you talking to a lot of the others that really want to know or want to follow you? who are you talking to? And he says, Lord, there, Lord, or Master, or the one who is in charge. Are you addressing this parable just to us? Because I think part of this was that he thought it might be a physical instance that he's talking about. Because the parable was about the master who went to the wedding feast. And Jesus did that. Remember, what was the first miracle that Jesus performed, that's recorded that Jesus performed, was the turning the water into wine at a wedding feast. So we looked at the significance of wedding last week, and we talked about that. And I think Peter was genuinely asking, well, are you going to another wedding? Do you want us to stay here and wait? Or who exactly are you addressing this to? Are we to be looking for your return? Right, so he was genuinely questioning here, are all the other ones, all the other followers involved in this? So that was his question. Now, Jesus clarifies this. And in the clarification, we're going to talk about two different groups of people, all right? In verse 42, "And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and sensible steward?" You notice that Jesus didn't always just answer the question directly. Didn't say, "Well, Peter, I was talking to you specifically." Or, "Peter, I really wasn't talking to you at all. I was talking to these guys over here." You know, he didn't answer, but his answer gave a truth that couldn't be answered directly. So let's look at what that answer is. The Lord said to him, "And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and sensible steward, whom the master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the proper time?" Well, the parable that he just said, that he just had, was talking about the steward, or the one that the master had put in charge, and would that steward be ready when the master came home? And would he be taking care of everything? Would everything be done? So he says, who then is the faithful and the sensible steward? Who is it? And he goes on to clarify it. Now, as we get into this, I wanted to just tell you ahead of time that he's talking about two groups of people. And I'll show you that in the grammar. But he's talking about those who believe and those who do not believe. All right? Those who believe and those who do not believe. Now, the people that were following him wanted him to be the Messiah. They wanted to believe in him, so long as he did what they thought a Messiah should do. Because you have thousands and thousands of people who were following him saying, hey, and they did this specifically. They laid down palm branches, and there was probably more than 100,000 people at that point laying palm branches down over their coats and saying, Hosanna to the king, as he rode into Jerusalem. And a week later, they're shaking their fist at him saying, crucify him. Crucify him. Even though Pilate said he's done no wrong, crucify him. How did that happen? Because Jesus wasn't meeting their expectations. So he had so many people following him at this point. And he gives illustrations to show, oftentimes to show this. But what he's talking about here specifically are those who believe, the people that believe, the people that do not. And I'll show you that as we start. It says, who then is the faithful and sensible steward? The word faithful is the word pistos in the original language. And that word specifically can be translated three ways. Can be translated faith, trust, or believe. All right. So when we're talking about the word pistos, we're talking about those who believe. And there's another word. There's another word that's very similar. In fact, it's the same word, pistos, except it has the first letter of the Greek alphabet on it. It's an alpha. So it's apistos, which it's much like if putting a knot on front of it or something. If it's raining out, it's not raining out. It's the opposite of raining. It's sunny. Right, so that one letter on the beginning of the word made it the complete opposite of whatever the word was. So if the word was running, you put that letter on it, it's not running. If the word was climbing, then it's not climbing. If the word was south, then it's north. It's complete not south, so it's north. So the word here is faithful or believing. Now if you go down to verse 46 at the end of the verse, we're talking about a different group. It says put him in a place with the unbelievers. That word unbelievers is the same word, except it has that alpha in front of it, apistos, those who do not believe. Right, so we're talking about two different groups of people here. If we get into this, verse 42 says, who then is the faithful or the believing and sensible steward? The word sensible the word sensible means wise or prudent or understanding. The one who understands. Who is that faithful servant? The one who understands. The one who was ready when his master came home from the wedding feast. The one who was dressed. The one who had his robe girded about so he could jump up and go to the door. He says, who is that faithful servant? I'm sorry, steward. The faithful and sensible steward. Whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the proper time. Master put him in charge. He gave the slave what he needed to succeed. He gave him that. And that slave or that servant or that steward accomplished it. He gave them the rations, the proper care of the other slaves, proper care that was entrusted to him by the master. So this master here had to have had several slaves, had to have had several people who were under him. And he put this slave in charge to give them their rations, to give them how much they needed to eat, to take care of them at the proper time. And he accomplished it. You look at verse 43. Blessed is that slave whom the master finds so doing when he comes. Blessed is that slave. Blessed means happy or fortunate. Just like the slaves that were anticipating the master's return back in the last parable. He says, blessed is that slave. Happy or fortunate. Because they are doing. Look at the word there in verse 42:3. Blessed is the slave whom the master finds so doing. The word doing is in the present tense and it's a participle. Which means it's an ongoing process. In the active voice. They are doing that at the time. They are continuing to do that. A participle means it just continues on. The action continues on. So their lifestyle, their heart is to continue to accomplish what the master put them there for. Living out this slave's responsibility, living it out, obeying what the master's heart is. And look what he says in verse 44. Truly I say to you. Now, anytime you see that in Scripture where Jesus is speaking, he says, truly I say this. Take note of it because that's emphatic. That's very emphatic. Jesus doesn't just say, well, he doesn't say, he'll put him in charge of all this business. He says, hang on, catch this. He's going to put him in charge of everything else. That steward that he finds, he's going to put him in charge of everything else. So you know what this guy's reward is? You know what this faithful steward who was taking care of what the master left him, he was doing what the master desired he did. He was accomplishing what he was supposed to. You know what his reward was? Okay, I'm going to put you over more stuff. I'm going to give you more responsibilities. I'm going to give you more ways to show faithfulness. His reward was to get more of that. It's kind of like the only thing I had to relate to is carpentry. You know, raising the kids with carpentry, you bring the kids when they're 10, 11, 12 years old, what do? You don't say, well, there's the roof, put it on, I'm going to go do this one. Well, I do that with Ben all the time, but he's not 10 or 11 now. All right? But I'd bring him along and I'd give him a broom, say, well, clean up. Go pick up all the shingles. Take care of it, you know, take care of that part. And they would do that. And later on, I'd say, okay, well, come up and you can help tear off the shingles and then clean them up too. And then I'd come bring them in, and then you can hand me shingles. Hand shingles while I put them on. You can hand me the shingles. And later on, then I'd say, well, okay, now that you can do that, you can start putting the shingles on. You rough beside me and start putting the shingles on because you've watched and see how it's done. And then later on, you say, well, that side of the roof needs done, so go do that side of the roof. You've been roofing really well, go do that side of the roof. It doesn't have any valleys, it doesn't have anything, just straight side, go do it. And then later on, well, that side has some valleys, but I think you can handle it. Go ahead and do that. And then later on, like with Ben, say, look, you take the crew and do it. I'll go check other roofs. You go take the crew and you go ahead and do all the roofing. All right, because it's a building of responsibility. And that's what he's talking about here. That faithful, remember, we're talking about someone who's faithful or believing. And he says those who are faithful or believing, he says he put them in charge, and blessed is he whom the master finds when he comes. Remember, he had just talked about in verse 40, you two be ready, the Son of Man is coming in an hour you don't expect. Faithful is he who is accomplishing, or is he who is concerned about what the master's heart is at that point. And he says, you'll be in charge of even more. Then he goes on. He goes on and talks about the one who's not. Look at the contrast that he makes. In verse 45, he says, but if that slave says in his heart, could be the same guy, could be a different one, but he says, that guy that was left in charge anyway. If that slave says in his heart, my master will be a long time in coming, and begins to beat the slaves, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of the slave will come on a day when he does not expect, and at an hour that he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. Right? So here we're talking about a different situation. Someone that has been put in charge, or someone, this is the master. Remember, now listen. Remember, we don't gain doctrine from parables, all right? He's giving this parable to show a point. To show a point of the faithful ones and of the unfaithful ones, okay? So now we have an unfaithful. We looked at the faithful ones, we have an unfaithful. We looked at the believing ones, believing what the master said, believing to a point where it affects them, and the ones who are not believing to a point where it affects them. So he's been put in charge, and what happens? This slave has been put in charge, and he says in his heart, in his motivation, in his thought process, he says, you know what? My master, he's going to be a long time in coming. So he begins to beat the slaves, men and women. This is debauchery, men and women. He was beating. That was something that the slaves didn't order, the master ordered. So he's taking the master's place. Not only there, but it says and eat and drink and get drunk. So he's basically become the master. He has taken the place of the master. He doesn't,
He isn't working for the master. He's not accomplishing what the master's heart is. He's become his own master. He's taken the place of the master. And it says when that master does come back, verse 46, the master of the slave will come, and he'll come on a day when he doesn't expect. He'll come on an hour that he doesn't know. Now, if you go back to verse 40, it says, you two be ready, because the Son of Man is coming in an hour that you don't expect. There's the promise. What we talked about last week, the rapture. It's going to happen on an hour you don't expect for those who are believing. For those who are unbelieving, you're talking about the second coming where Jesus Christ comes and sets foot on this earth. There's two different comings of Christ. Where Christ comes in the air, according to Thessalonians, he comes in the air and we are caught up with him. That's what we get the word rapture. We're caught up with him in the air. And then when he comes again the second time, we'll come with him where he comes and he sets foot on this earth. And you know, for Christians, the rapture is the next event that we're looking for. For the non-Christians, the second coming of Christ is going to be a horrific event. But it's going to happen when they're least expect. So as we look at this, this slave isn't ready. He's not ready because he didn't really believe what the master gave him. He didn't really believe that. He didn't believe he was coming, didn't think he was coming then anyway. But when he does, look what happens in verse 46, because here we have the consideration going on here. The master will return. The slave thought he had more time, thought it whatever his thought process was, he became his own master. Look at verse 46. The master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and an hour when he does not know, and will cut him in pieces. Literally, it means cut, or cut in two. Whether that means to cut him off from what he had as far as his stewardship, to cut him away from the slaves, or to kill him, we're not sure. That's used a couple of different times used in Hebrews, where it's talking about the Christians who were cut, sawn in two. Which is a very literal sense. But anyway, the master will harshly punish this one, okay? And assign him a place with unbelievers, because that's where he is, with the apistos, the unbelieving or unfaithful or non-believing. And look what it says in verse 47, because there's different variety here. It says, and that slave, also a different slave, that slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accord with his will receive many lashes. So here you have one who is cut, here you have one who is lashed, and then look what it says. But the one who did not know and committed deeds worthy of flogging will receive but few. So here you have one who didn't know and yet still disobeyed the heart, still didn't obey the heart of the master, didn't really understand it, but yet didn't obey it. He received few lashes. So this is the follower's consideration that we're looking at. He's speaking of a group, to the group of would-be followers here. He's speaking to literal people who would be followers. And he says, look what he ends up saying. Look at the end of it. He says, from everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more. So remember, Jesus himself is speaking here. And he's speaking to a group of probably more than 10,000 people. And a lot of that group want him to be the Messiah, want him to be a physical king. And he says, you know what? I'm giving you truth. And to him who has a lot of truth, much is required. That's why he said, remember, to the city where he was in Galilee, when he was preaching and they were saying, no, you need to leave. He said, you know, it's going to be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon, for Sodom and Gomorrah, that those evil cities can be more tolerable for them than it is for you, because you have the truth right here. I've been giving you the truth, and yet you are rejecting that truth. says, to whom has been entrusted much, to place beside. Entrusted means to place beside or to entrust to give to. It's a clear warning to these followers here who were following him. It's a parable. It's a general picture of what? The parable is a picture of being ready, understanding that our lives do matter. Here is to live it out, not just to sit and wait. Remember, he talked about the last parable was about the wedding feast. And he wasn't saying, you know, as a slave, you're not to just sit and do nothing while you wait for Christ, or wait for the master, I'm sorry, wait for the master to return from the wedding feast. That's sit and do nothing. And yet that could have been what they drew. But here it's not talking about that specifically. It says living that out, living out what you understand. The evil slave, became his own master. He didn't follow the real master. He became his own master. The evil slave did. These people would be held responsible for what they knew, what they were taught. Those that believed, the first part, followed. They followed. And they were blessed. They were fortunate or happy. They caught that blessing. And those who didn't became their own gods. They became their own gods. No matter how much they were given, they needed to respond to it, not ignore it. These people that were following him had the opportunity to respond to the truth or to ignore the truth. Some did. They were the faithful. Some didn't. They were the unfaithful. Some believed. Some did not believe. And you know, at this point, there weren't many, I believe, who really did understand and believe, even the disciples themselves. The 12 disciples themselves, which we know Judas never did, but even the other 11. They wanted him to be a physical king too, I think, because they were discussing who's going to be the greatest. And yet, after the resurrection, then they understood. They understood that. They understood all that he had taught. It made sense to them. The whole argument, there's a huge argument here, which I'm not going to get into, on the degrees of punishment. So the argument takes this looking at the rewards in heaven as being greater responsibility, and the punishment in hell as being horrible or not as bad, or not the degrees of it. And there's validity to that throughout Scripture. I mean, even with Tyre and Sidon in that city, we're talking some validity to that, especially with these folks who are following Jesus and ended up not believing. And then when they died, recognize, you know what? He was the truth. And I had the truth. And it was right here. It's much like it was on the news or something. It was a video. It may have been on YouTube or something. But it was a skater. It was a skater. And he was a good skater. And this was like an Olympic event. And he was skating. He was 3 or 4 people ahead of anyone even close. He came around the last corner and he was so happy. He started celebrating and raising his arms and waving to the crowd, you know, and he's just skating along, and those guys behind him started catching up, and the guy that was next went across the finish line before he did. And the guy's going, ah, and he just threw himself to the ground. Ah. It's not that he lost, it's that he should have won, and he could have won. And he would have won if he'd have paid attention. So the losing there wasn't just, I mean, you know, like the third place guy, oh, rats, you know, I lost. Well, the guy who was in first and became, you know, all of a sudden lost, it wasn't an, oh, rats, I lost. It was an agony. Oh, I cannot believe I did that. How dumb could I be? Now, I don't know whether that's part of what's, you know, the degree thing you're looking at. I don't understand the whole degree deal. I do understand that in hell there are many who are going to be in anguish. And in heaven there are many who are going to be rewarded. And I understand the rewards are different. And I understand that the degree of punishment has to be different. And there's a whole thing we can get in mind. We are not getting into that because there's absolutely no time. But there will be punishment. Let's look at the whole aspect. There will be punishment. There will be punishment for those who take the truth and ignore it. Ignore it. And remember, he's talking to the ones who were following him, wanting to be his disciples. So he's not just talking to people who didn't care at all about him. Wanted to be his disciples. But he says, there's also the aspect of blessed is the one who took that information, who took that truth, and who let it permeate his life and lived it out. Lived it out. Lived out what his master's heart was. Jesus here is warning the people. Jesus here is warning those who wanted to follow him. You know what? It's not just a head thing. Where we say, well, you know, that master, Jesus may come sometime, may not. I don't know. I don't really care. How much information is given? How much truth do people have that they ignore? How much truth do they have that they say, no, I don't want to believe that. I want to become my own master. I want to do it my way. Rather than taking what God says and doing it his way. What is a life of dependence? It's depending on what God says instead of what we think, what we desire, what we say. It's taking what God says as truth. There is that not only believing, Stuart, but sensible, wise, understanding, Stuart. Taking what God says and letting that be our life, the life of Christ in us. That's why, as we were talking about in Sunday school in Philippians, Paul says, for me to live, Christ. To die, that's profit. That's gain. To live, Christ. That's my life. That's who I am. To die, that's even greater. That's even greater. So here, he's giving them warning. He's warning them, you know what? What I'm speaking about, you need to take heed. Grab hold of it. Grab hold of it. There is truth. There will be punishment. There will be rewards. You know what the fun part is? You know what those rewards are? More responsibility. I don't understand that at all in heaven. You know, when we get to heaven, we want to just sing and play a harp, right? I'd be a horrible harp player. But we want to just float around and play harp and not worry about anything else. We're going to get more responsibility. I don't understand that. But I'm glad. Because I know God has it in his hand and in his heart. And you know, for others, there will be punishment. And I think we need to warn. We need to show Christ through our life. To show others that, you know what? There will be punishment. It will be true. But if you've trusted Christ, you will be with him. He will come back. And he will reward. He will, it says there, where does it say it? He says, blessed is that slave whom the master finds so doing. Truly I say, he will be put in charge of all his possessions. Blessed is he. If you've never trusted Christ, I would encourage you, come to know him. Accept what he's given. Trust him for your salvation. Don't be your own God. Being your own God doesn't end well. Doesn't end well at all. Accept that truth. Take Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. He wants to adopt you into his family because he loves you. Let's close in prayer.